painting, reel 7.
From, are you ready for me to?
Yes.
When we were formed up, about 200 yards from our trench, in a little bit hollow, we were shelled, and then we were searched. Everything was taken from us. But I was allowed to keep my pay book, my AB-64. It had been shot through my breast, you see, and it had my photographs and things, and also had a signature of Prince Maurice of Battenberg, Lieutenant Prince Maurice of Battenberg, who was a lieutenant in the regiment when he paid me out. And also it was so badly cut that I said to the German, I said, artillery, point of my chest, souvenir. So they said, yeah, souvenir, I was allowed to keep that, and I still have it now. And then we were formed up, had to carry wounded Germans away, and going through the German lines, well, as a soldier, I was pleased to see the number of dead that there were. But as a human being, I thought, look at that. Look at the trouble that's going home to wives, mothers, sweethearts. I said, as a human being. But I said, I was very pleased to see the price they'd had to pay for their success. Well, there we were marched to Werbeck. And we were billeted in the church at night, slept on the cold floor in the church. And we were given coffee and dry bread at night. Woke up next morning, coffee and dry bread again, and marched to Lille. We marched to the dungeon in Lille.
Were you guarded very carefully?
Oh yes, we were guarded all the way, you see. Oh yes, we were. I mean, it was. They had an escort, so you didn't get back into your own lines, you see. And we marched to Lille, and we put in the dungeon in Lille. And next morning, we had the same thing again at night, coffee. And next morning, we were paraded. And the Germans, they call us all the bad names they could think of. And the German produced 5 of our rounds, you know, in a charger, same as we load our rifle. But the muzzle, the tip of the bullets was broken off. And they said that the hole on the cut-off on our rifles for the purpose of breaking these bullets, you see, so that when they struck you, they were a dum-dum bullet and expanded and caused a severe wound. And of course it was a lie, but Captain Lyons, who was a senior officer of ours who was taken prisoner with us, they scraped these 5 bullets down his face and tore his face with the 5 bullets. Well, then we were put into trucks, HVAL 40 arm.
How do you think that particular charger they had, do you think they had cut the noses off the bullets themselves, or just a stray shell or something
done that, you see. I mean, no soldier would ever think of doing anything like that, a dum-dum bullet. Mm. I mean, not doing that, I mean. Well, you wouldn't. I mean, I say this. Although you're fighting a man, you've never met the man before. You don't bear him any grudge. He's doing his job and you're doing your job. That's all there is about it. And if it, well, I mean, the best man wins, that's all there is. I mean, you don't, he's got to do his job, same as you. And you don't bear him, of course, it's either his life or your life. What it is, however.
When Captain Lyons' face was scraped like that, did the people about, did you sort of feel that you wanted to
we were absolutely wild, but you couldn't do anything.
Yes.
Well, you couldn't do anything. I mean, you've got to take it, you see. You couldn't do anything at all. Well, after we'd spent this night at Lille, we were put into the Continental Trucks, HVAL each of our 40 arms. Mm-hmm. And the horses had just come down, been used to transporting horses, and the droppings and everything was there. And instead of 40 of us being in a truck, there were 60 of us was put in this truck. You couldn't lie down, you was all holding each other up.
Yeah.
And then from there we went to on our way from Werwick to Lille, French women, the kindness of French women will never be forgotten. They threw fruit to us, chocolate, packs of biscuits, receiving blows from German rifles in doing so. One woman with a tiny baby in her arms was knocked down. Because I wrote all this from regiment.
Yes.
You haven't read it, have you?
Yes, I've read that one. And we have a copy in our library.
Have you?
Yes.
I thought that was the one about when I was wrote about resettlement in civilian.
Yes, that as well.
Oh, I didn't know you got that. Well, this gives a rough idea, doesn't it, you see? Then we were, later in that day, the accommodation, I say, was disgraceful. Herded into continental trucks to hold 40 men or 8 horses, and from which the horses could easily be trained, and the trucks were left unclean. 66 men were crowded in the compartment. We travelled for 3 days with short hauls for food. I can't remember, you know, where we stopped or what we had, you see, but we finally arrived at Güstrow in Mecklenburg.
Yeah. When the women in Lille,
yes,
were attacked like that, was that the first time that you'd seen or heard anything about German atrocities?
That was the first time that we'd actually seen them. You see, when we was on the retirement, the women and children and the old men, they were going back, you see, and got all the possessions either loaded up in a lump or on a little cart drawn by a dog or something like that, you see. But of course we never saw anything because they was going away, you see, and the Germans hadn't caught up with us. Mm-hmm. But really that was the first time that I'd seen anything like that, you see.
It was the first time you'd seen any soldiers of any army ill-treating women?
Yes. Oh, yes, that was... your blood boiled. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't do anything at all. And then, so we arrived at Güstrow in Mecklenburg, and it was due in a snowstorm there. We had snow. Of course, you've got lots of notes there, haven't you?
Yes. Was the camp prepared for you?
Oh, it was a huge camp. Oh, yes. When we got there, there was French and Belgians and Russians and all sorts of people in it. It was a big camp, about 10,000 people in it. And the barbed wire and everything was around there. And we were marched there, and we were given a good meal. We got to Güstrow on the 6th of November. Bitterly cold and 7 inches of snow on the ground. The camp was about a mile from the station, and our kit consisted of a thin blanket, a towel, a small basin and a spoon. That was our kit.
Well, was that issued by the Germans?
That was issued by the Germans.
Did it come from the Red Cross?
Of course, we had issued by the Germans. We had no... The Red Cross hadn't got organised in the, then. And... we'd taken to the cookhouse and had a basin of really good porridge to warm us up. Then we were moved into a tent. The tent that I was put into, it was a huge tent, all about 500 or 600 people. And there was a street through it, and on each side of the street there was a pen, 6 foot 6 in length, and straw was on the wet ground, and you were allowed 2 foot 6 in sleeping space, and that was your accommodation. Lie down in this straw on the damp ground, and a thin blanket which you could hold up or see through it, and it was snow. That was, and to sit anything on the top of the board, it made the division. There was another plank put on the top of that, you see, a 6-inch, that was where you could sit on it to everything. And to get your food, the old camp used to line up, it didn't matter by nationalities or what it was, you'd all make one huge mass, and there would be 12 dishing out places, you see, where they containers, large containers, and you get a ladle of soup and put in your basin. The old camp used to come round there and form up there and make these 12 lines, and when that soup had gone, you run out. Well, if you run at the end of the line, you were unlucky, you had nothing. And we had one loaf of bread every 10 days, which was very dark and contained sawdust and potato peelings and all sorts of things, but it got under the heading of bread. And we had to go and draw that separately. And that's dotting it down, is it?
Yes, that's okay.
Food, breakfast, you'd line up just exactly the same, you see, and perhaps get a little bit of Quaker oats or something of that, skinny. And dinner, well, your meat was cooked half one day, the bitter meat in it, horse meat or something, half cooked one day, half cooked the next day, and the third day you got the residue of a little bit of meat in your soup. Mm-hmm. And at night you'd get some ersatz coffee, acorns, ground acorns or something that's made of it. It had coffee colour, but there's not much coffee about it, you know. And you got your loaf of bread, which had to last you for 10 days. That was your food, you see. And there was no accommodation for bathing or anything. And for nature, there was holes were dug in the sand, and you sat across a pole, and when that big trench was filled in, you moved on a little bit farther, you see, and so you went on like that.
Were these dug by the Germans, or the prisoners?
Oh, we had to dig them.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we had to dig them. There was no organised working party. What would happen if they wanted a working party? A number of the German sentries would come down, and anybody who they roped in was taken away to do work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no organised party would take them away like that. Well, if you were roped in, well, you'd go and have to dig one of these trenches, you see. And in the camp, in the tent where I was, there was a young lad of 17, a Belgian lad of 17, and there was an old Frenchman who'd fought in the 1870 war. He'd been roped in as a prisoner of war. He was a civilian, but he was roped in.
And you would all be in little compounds,
oh, yeah,
not separated by nationality or anything?
Oh, you were all mixed up there. You might have two or three of you there and that, see, and so that's how you...
Were there any officers in with you, or was
No, the officers were all separate. Yes. Oh, no, it's only common soldiers, ordinary other ranks, to use the other word. You see, you get officers and other ranks. Well, it didn't matter what your rank was. If you weren't an officer, you were another rank. You might be a sergeant major, you might be a private. Mm-hmm. That's your other rank, you see.
The loaf of bread that had the last 10 days, was there much thieving of stealing?
Amongst yourselves? No. But I did have one big disaster. I will say this about the Germans. Soon after we got to Güstrow, we were given what they call a brief card, you see, to where you put your number, rank and name on it, and you're allowed to write home to your people and let them know that you were a prisoner of war and that your address was at that camp. Mm-hmm. And that was must have been sent home very quickly, because I had a reply very quickly and had some tobacco sent, and I was going to keep that for Christmas. I put it in the straw. I thought, well, I won't use it, although I was tempted. It was two ounce tin of St. Bruno. Not St. Bruno, St. Julian. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I'll have a nice smoke at Christmas. put it in the straw. But somebody had won it. I don't know. I didn't have that smoke at Christmas. No, that had gone. However, we food now. After we'd been in this huge tent for some little time, we had a terrific snowstorm, and the weight of the snow tore the top of the tent where we were, quite a piece of it, see, and we were lying in the snow for 3 days, and then they moved us out of this particular tent, and 70 of us, well, more, but I was in with 70 others, in a little wooden structure with the canvas just stretched over it like that. You see, one doorway and 6 foot 6 on the side and a passageway and one entrance, and we slept in that. We were quite comfortable. Straw in the bottom again. And while I was standing at the door one day, a German sentry came down and he said to me, he said, "Sergeant, are you hungry?" I said, "Yes." And he gave me half his German rashers. A nice German bread and sausage. He said, "How many men have you got in the tent?" I said, 75. He said, "Got any tobacco?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, look out for me." He said, "I shall be on again at 2 o'clock. I'll bring you some tobacco." He said, I know the British Tommy. He said, "I lived in England for 7 years." He said,